Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read with me the title of our sermon printed upon the screen, Can You See Clearly? Based on our gospel reading, John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Please follow your sermon outline. It was given to you when you came in with the handout. Follow that sermon outline as we consider our theme, Can You See Clearly? I wonder if you remember a TV commercial from some time ago. The TV commercial was about drinking and driving. You saw all the action through the eyes of the driver of the car. And when you first started driving, you could see things perfectly. But after each successive drink of alcohol, your eyes got blurrier and blurrier and blurrier. So finally, you told the person next to you, I have no problem. I can see clearly. And then crash, bang, there's a big crash. And the commercial, of course, addresses the stupidity of drinking alcohol and driving. But the second thing that it focuses on is this. How important it is for each of us to be able to, in all areas of our life, to see things clearly. Seeing things clearly is what today's sermon is about, based on the gospel reading we just read. Listen to these words from John chapter 1. Listen to the verbs. Verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God. 32, John said, I saw the Spirit descend. 34, I have seen and bore witness. 35, he looked at Jesus. 36, behold the Lamb of God. 38, Jesus turned and saw him. And 39, Jesus said, Come and you will see. What is behind this look and see text of John chapter 1? At the time of John the Baptizer, people were looking for and hoping for a Savior, a Messiah who would come and fulfill all the Old Testament promises of the one who would come to free his people. And certainly the people at John the Baptist's time must have been wondering, would this Messiah ever come? Would I ever see him myself? And one day, John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him. And he speaks this most beautiful passage of Scripture, John 1:29, and he said again these words, Behold, as he pointed to Jesus, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And some people began to follow Jesus when he gave the invitation, Come and you will see. Some went, some came, some saw. Some have faith in Jesus. And one example was Andrew, who brought his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. But many others would not follow. Many others would not see. Many others would not trust in our Lord. Why won't people today see and trust Jesus? Notice your sermon outline, if you would. Some people today were never raised in a Christian home, were never brought by parents to Sunday school or confirmation class or to worship. That's the way that I was raised, never standing inside a church building until I was age 12 with confirmation class. Maybe you have friends and family like this. And my friends, you can say to them, as Andrew said to Peter, come and see. Come with me. Come and see my Jesus. Other people have heard God's word, have in the past been involved in the church, but have been seduced by the temptations of this world, by the lies of the devil and godless people around them, by the empty values and busyness of this life. And they say, and I've heard things like this, oh, Pastor, we used to be faithful in coming to worship and Bible study. But you see, we're now just too busy to squeeze that kind of stuff into our full lives. I can actually think of nothing much more sad than that. Some people, and here's a word to believers today, some people have been hurt by the church. Some people have been hurt by people who call themselves Christians, and they use that as reason enough to turn their backs on God. Another problem can be a stubborn refusal. A stubborn refusal to stop that unholy habit, that sinful behavior, that lifestyle that's putting a wall between themselves and God. Well, whatever the reason, people won't come and clearly see Jesus. Saint Augustine said this, "O God, my heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." My friends, if you are not as excited about the things of God as you used to be, if you feel like you're just going through the motions in your spiritual life, if you wonder at times why God seems so far away, perhaps it is because you are not as in touch with God as you once were. Each of us can say a prayer that sounds like this. Maybe these words are your words. Please, Lord, show me how I have become disconnected from you. Please reconnect me, O Lord. Help me to see what is really important in this life. Help me to see what really only is lasting and eternal. Now, I have good news for you, and that good news is as much good news for me as it is for any of you. Here's the good news of Holy Scripture. Nothing keeps Almighty God from coming to you. This is the message of the entire Bible. He came to our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they were hiding for shame because of their sin and guilt. And in love, he came to them and said those loving words, "Where are you?" In the parable of the prodigal son, God, who's portrayed as the father of the runaway boy, saw his boy from a distance. And it says in Luke 15, verse 20, when the son was still afar off, the father ran to him, threw his arms around his neck, and he kissed him and he hugged him. In Luke 19, we see the account of Zacchaeus, that wee little man, that cheating tax collector, because he was so short, he had to climb up a tree to see Jesus in a crowd. And Jesus came to where he was and stood and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I must come to your house today." There are so many more examples in the Scripture of God coming to us and to our loved ones, even while we have turned our back on him. Just one passage today. Listen to this carefully. Romans 5, 6, and 7. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still sinful and powerless, Christ died for us, the ungodly, and God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Did you catch it? God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrates his love for us. This is the nature of God. This is what he does. Now, what are we to do? Our joyful task is to take 1 John 4 to heart that says, "Now we love because he first loved us." Our joyful task is to love others with the love of God that we have received and help them see clearly God's love for them. This was indeed what Andrew did in our gospel reading for today. We read the last few verses. As soon as Andrew knew that Jesus loved him, he couldn't take it to himself. He ran to his brother. Listen to the text. One of the two who heard John speak and who followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to Jesus. When our eyes are opened and we see clearly how much Jesus loves a sinner like you and me, we cannot help but then love others and demonstrate God's love for them. The story is told, a beautiful true story I've held on to for years, about a grade school teacher named Miss Thompson. In her classroom, she had a little boy whose name was Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson was the first to admit she just did not like Teddy. He came to school dirty. He didn't listen in class. He didn't seem to care about his schoolwork. He just stared out the classroom window day after day. There were times, Miss Thompson said, she almost enjoyed with a red marker writing a big F on the top of Teddy's papers just because she didn't like him so. But then, one day after school, she took a close look at Teddy's records for the last 4 years of school. And here's what she found. Grade one, Teddy tries hard, but he has a difficult home situation. Grade two, Teddy's mother is very sick. He gets little help at home. Grade three, Teddy's mother died and he doesn't pay attention in class anymore. Grade four, Miss Thompson's class. Teddy just now does not care about school. At Christmas time, Miss Thompson has a party at Christmas like most teachers do, and the little children bring their teacher a present. When she finally got to Teddy's gift, it was a cheap, already opened half bottle of perfume. And while the rest of the children were giggling and laughing about such a cheap gift, at least Miss Thompson had the sense to dab on the perfume and tell Teddy how nice it smelled. And Teddy said, "That was my mama's favorite perfume." When the school day was over, Teddy stayed behind to tell Miss Thompson he was glad that she liked his mama's perfume. And when Teddy left, Miss Thompson said she got on her knees and asked God to forgive her for the way that she had treated Teddy. She asked God to help her to love Teddy and all the other Teddy Stallards in her life. And the rest of the school year, she gave him that love and attention that he needed, and it made a world of difference. Teddy moved away. She didn't hear from him for a long time, but one day she got a letter and it read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'm graduating second in my high school class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, another letter, "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'm graduating from university. Love, Teddy Stallard." And 4 years later, another letter, "Dear Miss Thompson, I just finished medical school. As of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. And next month, I am getting married. Would you please sit where my mother would have sat during the wedding? Dad passed away, and now you're the only family I have. Love, Teddy Stallard." Well, Miss Thompson did just that. She had made a difference in Teddy's life. The love of God in her life, shared with somebody else, made all the difference. Dear Lord, today we ask, open up our eyes that we might see clearly your love for us, and then use us to open the eyes of others that they might clearly see your great love for them. That is our prayer in Jesus' name.